Shit. BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Every time I see that video, I see Matthew Perry and I'm thinking, wow.
Power pump!
Just doesn't look right.
Power pump!
Power pump. Like I said, it doesn't look right. 508-996-0500. Before we go to the phones, this from President Biden last night.
I believe my record as president, my leadership in the world, my vision for America's future, all merited a second term, but nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy.
He is stepping aside to save our democracy. Look, believe whatever you want. I know what I saw and heard, and I'm telling you, to me, I heard a lot of great things thrown together. And this is going to be one of those speeches for the ages. How many times does a sitting president take him or herself out of the campaign? Last time that I can remember, I'm taking it back to 1968, and that would have been LBJ. It's a long time ago. A long, long time ago. So this speech, if you are a young person, you're going to hear it for the next 50, 60, 70 years. We still hear those famous lines from LBJ that he's not going to seek or accept his party's nomination. So, I mean, we're still hearing that. That took place in 1968. So expect to, you know, to the youngins, I mean, I don't know that I'm going to live another, 60 some odd years and, you know, keep on hearing Biden, but it's going to resonate into the 21st century. 508-996-0500. Hello.
Brian.
Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
Morning,
you know,
Brian.
LBJ. His polling numbers were in the tank. That's why he bought out. He bought
and
out of it.
Isn't that why Biden is getting out too?
No. Biden said last night he's getting out because it's democracy over ambition.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
But no, I know that's what he said. Do you believe him?
No.
That's why these people are great con artists.
Propagandists. You know, Joseph Goebbels used to say, if you repeat a lie over and over again, people will believe it to be true. It's perception over reality. And I believe Dr. Franklin, when he told Eliza Powell, this is a republic, constitutional republic, if you can keep it. Well, they stopped lying about a democracy. The founding fathers, democracy had a negative connotation and meant mob rule. Unless he's put mob rule over his own ambition, we know that his dealings with China. But Peter Ducey yesterday asking Karine Jean-Pierre, the question was, who ordered the White House officials to cover up a declining president? And she answered, it's a narrative made up by the media. It's all made up in Axios.
Well, what's made up by the media?
His declining health.
So in other words, his health is not declining, and he's getting out of the race. Then for what reason?
You know, I saw him last night. I saw a man who was tired, run down, and obviously he was a speechwriter, wrote his speech last night, and I seen him just reading off a teleprompter. You know, we know about his decline. No mention of his health, and I don't know if you're familiar. One last thing is Tennessee Congressman Andy Ogles is filing articles of impeachment against Kamala Harris. First, on the border crisis, her as being czar, and many of the left-wing radicals are saying she was never in charge of the border by Biden. So the first one's border crisis. Second one is misleading the American people on Joe Biden's physical and cognitive well-being.
And where's that going to go?
Where's that going to go? Well, yeah. I don't know. It's a lot of
So it goes into the House of Representatives. Maybe it passes. It's certainly not going to get a two-thirds majority in the U.S. Senate. This is like the same thing with Trump, you know. But parties, you know, they've got better things to do.
It's political theater. That's all it
is. I'm tired of it.
Political theater.
You're right, and I'm tired of it.
And, you know, we all know as a public, when you see Robo Joe, Annapolis there at the Naval the War College, where he tripped over a cord and fell over, all of these other things, just freezing in front of the camera, being led by European officials. When he was out there in Normandy, he was going to walk out into the wilderness if it wasn't for the Italian president to hold him by the arm
and bring him back in.
Where to go. So this is propaganda. This is Nazi Germany propaganda. This is
No. Let's not call it Nazi Germany propaganda. Did they ever lead Hitler around like that?
Not Hitler, but I'm saying the propaganda to the magnitude.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody does that. Yeah, maybe I'm sure a lot of people do believe it, and that's on them. But every major power is out there doing propaganda. So I would like to see it stop. I don't think it's happening anytime soon. Thank you much for your call. Monthly FRX brings us the quote of the day. If you're spending less than $20 a month for prescription drugs, great. If not, then our monthly FRX service might be a good option for you. Check for yourself at monthlyfrx.com. And our quote today comes from Matt LeBlanc, formerly of Friends. And I say formerly because they're not together anymore. Friends was an education in intelligent comedic banter, in intelligent vernacular. It was an education in scene study. It was an education in group dynamic. I came out of there with a master's degree in comedy. Matt LeBlanc. All right, that's Matt. I'm Brian. And let's hear from you. Hello.
Oh, good morning, sir. How are you?
I am. How are you?
Okay. That man is, he is something.
Which man?
Else.
Which
he
man? Which man? Which man?
That last caller.
Okay.
He is unbelievable. The man got out of the way and everything else, and he's still going to knock the guy down. I don't understand this guy. If you're not a Republican, forget it. You don't even belong in the United States, according to him. You know, really, that's just the way it works. You know,
well, I find a lot of people are, they're hardcore. A lot of Trump people in particular, and they're not necessarily Republicans, but they are hardcore Trumpettes, as I like
Trump,
to call them.
Hardcore Trump fans. And he's going to get blown away in Massachusetts. So they can,
yeah, well, they know that, but they're thinking about the country. I think they believe that Massachusetts is going to vote for Harris or whomever the Democratic candidate is. But I think they're resting their laurels that Trump is going to be able to win the country.
Hope to God that doesn't happen. Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be a tough race.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Okay, have a good day.
All right, I appreciate the call. This presidential race is definitely too close to call as I look at today's date, July 25, 2024. Harris has, you know, and doesn't it stand to reason she is going to get some points just because it is a fresh face, a fresh voice, a new type of direction, and it's not sleepy Joe Biden. Now, is it going to be enough to pull her over the hump? I don't know. Some of the things that I hear that she is at least discussing with others, she's thinking about cryptocurrency and what it can do. I'm not talking about the U.S. CD. I'm talking about the D.C., however way it's pronounced. I'm running away from that so fast I don't even know what it is. But she's thinking about crypto more so than the Biden administration has considered crypto. And I don't know what she's going to do as far as a VP pick. I think she legitimately had plans yesterday, and, you know, she may be the president of the Senate, but she is also a presidential candidate. And I don't know how much she likes Bibi Netanyahu. She's meeting with them, I think, tomorrow. So, what the hey? What the hey? 508-996-0500. That's how you get onto the program today. He didn't really say much about what he would do about Gaza except trying to free the hostages and bring everybody home. And earlier in the day, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, spoke in Congress. Many people in Congress took a pass on the speech, including several, both U.S. senators from Massachusetts and at least three, if not four, of our Congress people. But in general, you know, we may not be at war, but we are certainly funding wars. Look at the amount of money that we've put into Ukraine. Look at the amount of money we keep on pouring into Israel. The fact that we paid several million dollars to Kenya so they would send some of their army finest over to Haiti to so-called keep the peace. Yeah, we might not be in a declared war or a declared conflict. But if I recall, just a few months ago, didn't we have, I don't, what was it, Iran or the Iraq? I can't even remember because we have so many different skirmishes going on all over the globe. But the incident in the Mideast where we ended up going back after, my brain is telling me I should be thinking Syria, Jordan, and then we did the counterattack. Was it against Iran? I'm not quite sure. I'm so confused by all of this. At any rate, I don't want to just bog this whole morning show down on that subject. Phil, in his update, told you about a Mass Inc. study that was released just the other day. Here's another part of that study that really caught my attention. A new Mass Inc. study reveals that 10% of workers in the Commonwealth have limited English proficiency. Limited English proficiency. It's even more common in gateway cities where 20%, so 20%, that's one in five workers, have limited English proficiencies. New Bedford is a gateway city. Fall River is a gateway city. Taunton is a gateway city. So, Mass Inc. tells us about this. I have no idea what they are recommending. My guess is more education. Here's my remedy to all of this. And I'm sorry if the folks are English deficient. That's on them to better themselves if they want to learn more English. We shouldn't have to force this issue. So people say, well, what happens when they're in a store and you go in and you can't understand them? You don't have to go into that store. There are other stores where you presumably can get the same product or service. And maybe if people don't go to that store because they can't understand the help or the ownership, maybe the ownership will do something so you can understand the help. Or maybe the ownership wants to cater to people of a particular language. To me, that's the way it should be. If people are here, you would think that they should learn the English language. I mean, it kind of makes sense. If you want to be able to get around fairly well, you should learn the language. But we shouldn't be forcing that issue. And you and I have our own judgment. We don't have to shop at that store. We don't have to go to that person's cleaners. We don't have to eat at that restaurant. We may hear a lot of good things, and maybe we think that, well, this is the language they speak. We like their food. Maybe we learn bits and pieces of their language so we could at least understand the menu, if that's what we want. That, to me, is a part of what this republic is all about. The republic that Joe Biden brought up in his speech last evening. It's not about forcing the issue. So I'm reading, you know, the headlines and the story about this Mass Inc. study. 20% of people, workers in gateway cities have limited English proficiency. Okay. Are we supposed to go out and do something about it? You're telling me about gateway cities. You're telling me what a gateway city is. Okay, we know they're there. Mayor Mitchell doesn't want New Bedford to be known as a gateway city. It is a gateway city, but we don't want people to know it's a gateway city. Look, if it's a lemon, make it lemonade. Simple as that. So you live in a gateway city. You live in an area of a gateway city. If you live in Dartmouth like me, you live in between two gateway cities. And not far from a third, Taunton. And I guess we can even include Brockton, because Brockton's not that far away. So there are limited job opportunities, but there are people that want to work. What do you suggest that we do that isn't going to cost some taxpayer more money than they can afford? And speaking of taxes and money, we're getting ready to go over to studio in 6 7/8. I'd like you to think about this as we get into our next half hour. I've asked this question several times over the past week, first time on today's show. And it comes down to, are you better off today than you were under the previous administration? And the response that I get from listeners is, of course you're not. And yet I had a caller call in yesterday and say that he is. Have you ever just scratched things out on paper to see where you might or might not be better? And I can understand why many people, and after listening to the president last evening, why he believes that things are better because of the different programs that he's instituted. And if you think about those programs, you also have to think about the people that have benefited from those programs. And you're going to find, since we have more people working in governments than people in the private sector, you're going to find a lot of people telling you, yes, indeed, they are better off today than they were just a couple of years ago under the previous administration. Okay, let's go over to Studio 6 7/8. That's where Phil Devitt is with our latest update.
President Biden says the time was right for him to bow out. A recovery milestone for a person injured in Trump's rally shooting. And Cher like you've never seen her before.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden addressed the nation Wednesday for the first time since his decision to drop out of the 2024 election. Biden said this is an important time.
I've made it clear that I believe America is at an inflection point. One of those rare moments in history when the decisions we make now will determine our fate of our nation and the world for decades to come.
While speaking from the Oval Office, the president said the best way forward for the country is to pass the torch to a new generation. He said now is the time for fresh and younger voices, as he endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris to be the Democratic nominee for president. Biden announced on Sunday that he would exit the race. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will meet today with Biden and Harris, although at separate times, following his address to a joint meeting of Congress yesterday. On Friday, the prime minister is scheduled to meet with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. One of the two people injured in the attempted assassination of former President Trump is being released from the hospital. Tammy Trujillo with the story.
On Wednesday, Allegheny Health announced David Dutch had recovered from his injuries and was discharged. Dutch was shot and wounded in the assassination attempt during Trump's campaign rally in Pennsylvania earlier this month. James Coppenhaver was also shot and injured, but he remains hospitalized in serious condition. Former fire chief Corey Comparatore lost his life in the shooting. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Residents in Northeast Ohio got a scare Wednesday after the emergency sirens went off at the local nuclear power plant. Authorities in the county say the sirens that started blaring yesterday morning were part of the emergency notification system for the Perry Nuclear Power Plant. They say a repair technician activated the system by accident. Cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike is promising to do better after a faulty software update caused a global computer outage last Friday. Mark Mayfield with more.
The outage affected Windows systems across multiple industries, including airlines, banks, and hospitals. The company now says it plans to improve software tests moving forward, adding additional layers of scrutiny to prevent this kind of thing from happening again. CEO George Kurtz has been called on to testify soon before Congress about the outage. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Oklahoma is releasing guidelines on how public schools should add the Bible to their lesson plans. The guidelines from State Superintendent Ryan Walters call for schools to provide a copy of the Bible as a resource in every classroom. The guidelines mandated last month require public school teachers to use the Bible as part of social studies. And Cher will give fans an inside look at her life with a new two-part memoir. The iconic pop star will release Cher the Memoir Part 1 on November 19th. HarperCollins publishers said the books find Cher revealing her true story in intimate detail with her trademark honesty and humor. Cher first teased she was working on her memoir back in 2017, and Part 2 will be released next year.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox blown out by the Colorado Rockies 20-7 in their series finale yesterday. Boston back on the East Coast to host the New York Yankees. Three-game set starts tomorrow night at Fenway.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Dense fog out there. Take it easy on the roads. Give yourselves extra time. Visibility down to a quarter of a mile to half a mile. Cloudy, mid-70s this morning. For this afternoon, mostly cloudy skies. A slight chance for a shower. 281 overnight. Clouds decrease. During the next few days, gorgeous weather is in store with sunny skies. Temperatures around 80. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
You're listening to the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back, Brian, in for Tim today. Tim is, he's at a conference, I guess, for lack of a lack of a better term, I, you know, when people get together to talk about that kind of stuff, I just have a hard time saying it's a conference. But be that as it may, he's really into it. So have a good time. Tomorrow, it's going to be Paul Santos. Paul Santos will be in, and I'll be doing the show on Monday. If you'd like to get through, 508-996-0500. Another change brewing within the Healey administration, and it deals with the right to shelter law and the people that are being sheltered. The Healey administration plans to implement another series of major changes to the state's emergency shelter system starting next week, actually starting a week from today. Now, the new rules don't necessarily say that folks that are coming in from out of state or out of the country aren't going to get a place to stay, but there is a priority now. And who's at the top of the pecking order? Massachusetts residents. How about that? The people who are paying into it are actually getting some kind of first right of refusal, so to speak. Here's how it's supposed to work. Families who are homeless because of no fault eviction, who have at least one member who is a veteran, or who are homeless because of sudden or unusual circumstances here in the Commonwealth that are beyond their control, you're going to be at the top of the priority list. What is troubling is it's also going to this whole new change. And here's why I say it's troubling. You only get 5 days in one of these overflow sites, one of these emergency sites, if you're still waiting for longer term shelter placement. So what is going to happen to those people who have exhausted their stay but have no place to go? When I'm driving into town, as I did this morning, I went through downtown New Bedford. There were people sleeping outside on the Pleasant Street side of the bus terminal. Just a couple of people just kind of kept it like they had bedrolls. And I thought to myself, they're real comfortable. I wanted to say, hey, what are you doing? Everything okay? Something. But they looked so peaceful sleeping there that I didn't want to disturb their rest. That's just those two. Then I made my way around and I started going down William Street. A couple of more people sleeping between Pleasant and Purchase. And then as you get down into that Custom House Plaza, more people camping out. Now, I don't know if any of these people have been in emergency shelter. I don't know where they came from. But my guess is that's just an inkling of what is going on in the city of New Bedford. I don't know what it's like in Fall River. I don't know what it's like in Taunton. I don't know what it's like in Brockton. I'm saying this because we do have the right to shelter law. I'm not for the right to shelter law. I'm just saying it's a law here in the Commonwealth. And I can see Governor Healey kicking her heels, so to speak, to try to change things around. But the legislature put this law into work. And I don't see them trying to change it. Here's what my vision is showing me. Maybe you think I'm wrong, but I'd certainly love to hear from you. My vision is telling me that you have these homeless advocates out there. And if they start seeing some of the people that they have found shelter for, these are the stakeholders. If these stakeholders start seeing that their constituency is out on the streets, you can be sure they're going to be going to court to try to get some stay on what the governor is doing here. And what do you think the governor's going to say? Well, I tried. I tried. Can't you hear it now? I can. 508-996-0500. Thank you for your patience. Okay, I'm sorry. I missed you. My bad on that. Try again. 508-996-0500. I'll take a brief break and kind of fix this all up. We're leading the world again. That was part of the speech last night from President Biden. I looked at the speech. Right there, he sounded really good. That piece right there, I not truthful, but good. I really wonder now if I can slide back into that other story, the last couple of stories, one where Governor Healey is now going to prioritize, or so she says, Massachusetts residents into the right to shelter system, which I think most of us would agree that if we have to have such a program like that, it should go to Massachusetts residents first and maybe only. But as we see, many migrants have come in from wherever, another state or another country, and they have been prioritized into the emergency shelter system. Well, now the governor is looking to prioritize Bay State families, I should say. First, didn't see anything about veterans in there, but I think, and I've stated this before, veterans should be taken care of by the federal government. Why they haven't, your guess is as good as mine. But this dovetails into a story that Phil did at the top of this hour, or maybe was the top of the 6 o'clock hour. 1 in 5 Bay State residents sees themselves moving away, moving out of Massachusetts. This is according to a new poll that was done by Mass Inc. Over 1,400 residents were surveyed during the month of June. And this is what they say. 21% say they can imagine themselves moving out of the Commonwealth within 5 years. Now, 5 years is a long time, especially if you're young. 5 years is a long time. I don't know the age or the age range or the 1,400 people, but basically 1 out of 5 people here in the Commonwealth, certainly 1 out of 5 surveyed, say they're out of here. They're out of here. Reasons cited: the high cost of housing, government spending. Hey, you think? Cost of living and welfare. And the immigrant crisis. So now, you take what the governor is doing to try to prioritize folks in the shelter system, and then what I believe is going to happen if the stakeholders find that many of their constituency ends up out in the streets and out of the shelter system, they're going to be taking it to court, trying to get that all rectified. That's what my vision is here. So what do we do? I know. Let's take care of the right to shelter law. The only way for us to really do it is to wait for the 2026 election and do I want to say an amendment, but do a ballot initiative. Because Beacon Hill lawmakers, they're not going to change it. They're happy with it. They love the situation. It means more money. It means more of their friends. More stakeholder friends are getting a job. And this is how the swamp progresses. You've got people that are all too willing to vote in yet another program, another service. So people get hired. And the people that get hired, are they beholden to the person that, you know, who is in their district, who has paved the way for them to have this particular job? You betcha. You betcha. And so when we come back to that line, are you better off today or were you better off under Trump? Yes, I can sit here and say I paid less in gasoline. But I can also sit right here in this chair. I know I'm paying more for gasoline under President Biden. I know I'm paying more for groceries under President Biden. I know my rent has gone up under President Biden. But you know what else I know? I know that I'm making a hell of a lot more money in this situation. Maybe not enough to offset, but, you know, this is what it is. People measure what they are doing. So when you ask the question, are they better off? Well, you can see how some certain people are saying yes. Just because you're thinking gasoline and groceries doesn't mean they're not thinking, well, they've got more clothes in the closet. And that's what it is. That's what the emotional part of all of this is. And what I see happening right now, President Trump, former President Trump, is really good at saying basically nothing and getting people to go along because he talks in plain language. He talks so an eighth grader can understand what he's saying. I'm not trying to say he's trying to stoop down low to dumb people. But he keeps that language plain. He doesn't really say much, but he keeps it plain. If you listen to Joe Biden in that speech last night, he wasn't trying to talk over people's heads. But this is what they do. They tug, they hit a chord with people. They have speech writers who know how to write to the brain. And so we're going to hear a lot of this between now and November 5th and probably November 6th, the day after the election. I don't know who's going to win, but just expect more and more of the same. 71 degrees in Acushnet, Swansea 73, 71 in New Bedford. Still scratching my head about that one. But I suppose the president wouldn't lie to us, would he? I mean, really, would he? One in five Massachusetts residents sees themselves packing their bags and moving out of the Bay State, according to a survey by Mass Inc. 21% say they imagine themselves moving away, moving out of state within the next 5 years. The high cost of housing, the immigration crisis, government spending, welfare, and the cost of living, that's what's driving people away. Surprise, surprise. Unless there's a tremendous crash, economic crash, that's not going to change. We've got people here that are trying their best. They're scrounging in order to stay in their apartment or their house. Could be some of the people, you know, we have people that are elderly. I mean, where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? I mean, they can't afford, you've got taxes that are going to go up again. Where are they going to go? The housing prices are up.